another day of infamy, in this case a very deep infamy, and it should not be allowed to pass without commemoration. Oh, you don't know what I'm talking about. No, it's not Memorial Day, although it is of sorts. It is, my friends, with profound sadness we remember the Israeli attack on the USS Liberty, which took place 44 years ago today. We, to this day, grieve for the families who lost their sons, their brothers, husbands, and fathers, and the crew members who lost their shipmates. We grieve for a crew that was abandoned by its commander-in-chief in the midst of a ruthless attack and by its government afterwards. And yet we continue to pledge to support their continuing claims for justice and for a government that represents American veterans over the Israeli lobby. You see, the idea was for Israel to sink the USS Liberty, killing all on board. It's called a false flag operation, because then they could blame it on Egypt and really create a ruckus. But dense old Americans, you know, the duh, howdy, Luke type, you see, they didn't get the picture. They bought the story that poor little Israel done made a mistake. You see, the Israelis just didn't see Old Glory flying off the bridge of that ship big as life that day. And so our fall friendship with Israel continues to this day. They milk us for billions of dollars in cahoots with the neocons who take their orders from Tel Aviv anyway. They brought down the Twin Towers on 9/11 just as well as anybody else may have been involved. Another false flag operation, blaming their enemy, the Muslims. And hey, dense old Americans, they bought it once again, hook, line, and sinkers. But you need to understand that most Jews in this country are sweet, dear folks who haven't got a clue as to what's really going on. But the picture isn't pretty, people. It's time to wake the hell up. Signed, Marilyn. Good evening, and welcome to a special installment of tonight's Life, Liberty, and All That Jazz. I'm your host for the hour, Jeffrey Bennett. I'll be commenting little, other than when I'm absolutely needed. And we welcome you to this program this evening, live on this 8th day of June, 2011, right here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm going to dispense with too much market commentary tonight, other than the fact to say that stocks fell again today. The financials have been mauled. OPEC died on the vine. Ooh, that's right. Israel somehow is involved with that one. A lot of things that we need to know about. But you know what? You've picked up on a lot of it already. We're going to move in a totally different direction. We come back from the break. Roger Sales will be joining us for the hour.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
This is an important message from hempusa.org for our listeners who are advancing in age, baby boomers, and to all who want to be healthy. We urge you to try our microplant powder and see the difference it makes in your life. Please visit hempusa.org and read about microplant powder. It's easy to take, one heaping tablespoon in any liquid three times a day. Call 908-691-2608 or visit hempusa.org. Please inform your family, friends, and relatives about this incredible product. It can change your life if you give it a chance. So try microplant powder today. Call 908-691-2608. In this toxic world, microplant powder can help now in cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, viruses, fungus, and bacteria. Please download our catalog at hempusa.org today.
Are you serious about maintaining or improving your health? If you are, you need Terravim. Terravim offers a full line of vitamins, minerals, and herbs for people serious about enjoying a healthy lifestyle. Our product lines include Alamax, Magnesit, Silver 100, Natura Health Products, Gala Herbs, and Terravim's private label, and undergo rigorous clinical studies by leading researchers and contain physician-grade research-based therapeutic doses of nutrients. All of our vitamin, mineral, and herb products are manufactured under current good manufacturing practices. This is in an FDA-registered production facility, and we guarantee that the ingredients in the supplements are exactly what's on the label. We also provide free consultation for all our products along with general wellness information. All orders over $45 ship free, and all orders received by 3 p.m. ship the same day. When shopping online, enter the coupon code RBN for a 10% discount. To order now, call 1-866-647-4372. That's 1-866-647-4372 or visit terravim.com.
I can't believe it. It's hard to conceive it that you turn away romance. Are you pretending? It looks like the ending, unless I can have one more chance to prove dear my life a wreck. My life a wreck you're making. You know I'm yours.
Welcome back to tonight's Life, Liberty, and all that jazz. Roger Sales, it seems like it's been, oh, at least a few hours since we spoke. Welcome to the program, as you always are on Wednesday nights.
Thank you, my old and dear friend. I really appreciate it. I appreciate the platform you've given me.
Glad to do it. Mike, you need to bring his voice up just a little bit.
Okay. Is that better?
No,
that
I was
better?
Telling Mike, that our producer, he needs to bring you up a little bit. I can hardly hear you.
Okay. And in segueing from what you're talking about the USS Liberty, I think we need to not only...
Hello.
Or can you hear me? I think we not only need to recognize a moment of silence for these folks, but all the other people that these monsters
have killed. I'm not quite sure what's going on. I cannot hear a thing.
Mike?
I have absolutely no sound at all. Zorro's with us, but
am I going out over the air?
Roger here first. I have no sound.
Okay, well, let me finish then. What I think we ought to do is have a moment
of
silence.
I hope he's talking because I can't hear
it. We'll get the audio problems and we'll recognize not only the people that died on that June 8th day, but all the rest of the people that these monsters have killed with all of their little antics. So just a moment of silence. Because that's important. Let me add something, too, that the guy that was real instrumental in covering up that was in charge of the Navy over Europe, and he has a son who's a senator, and he's from your state out there, Jeff, and his name's McCain. His father was in charge of naval operations in Europe and helped cover up that incident. Can you hear me yet, Jeff?
Yeah, I'm with you. Go ahead.
Okay. So enough of that. Let's go on and move on because we got limited time. For the people that are relatively new to this, I'm going to give a synopsis. Let me tell you, if you want more of this information in depth, it's in the RBN archives on Jeff's show, April 4th, 5th, and 6th, and on also the RBN archives in April the 26th, the 27th, 28th, and 29th. On the Freedom Frenzy. That's a two-hour format. There was 6 hours to deal with it. We had three on Jeff. So you can go back and get the meat of this. I'm not going to go into all of it. Just a synopsis for the new people. What they've done is they brought in a second form of citizenship that's below the original citizenship. It's a federal citizenship, if you will, versus a national citizenship. Or, to help differentiate it for you, it's a citizen of the United States of America, the original citizenship, versus a citizenship of the United States, the new federal citizenship that was brought in for black slaves to give them a political status after the Civil War. And if you can differentiate those two, that is what's happened. What they basically did is they took the black slaves off the southern plantation and they put them on the federal plantation, and then they waited 80 years until the Great Depression, and they saddled everybody with it and allowed you to volunteer in. And that's why it used to say on the IRS form that our system of taxation is based on voluntary compliance. On the chips that they're trying to get in everybody, they say it's a voluntary system. And you see, it's all this word trickery, because it's not voluntary that you pay taxes. You volunteered into the system that require your taxes mandatorily. And that's the little word game that's being played here. But the real word that is the biggest landmine in the language is the word resident. And let me clear this up for you, because quite frankly, it's just become clearer to me. In the slaughterhouse cases, which is the benchmark case of the 14th Amendment, it was decided in 1868. It was a Louisiana case. And in that, they were talking about the situation after the Civil War, because after the Civil War, before the 14th Amendment, the black slaves had been freed. They were no longer property of their owners, yet they had no protection from the federal government, and they had no protection from the states. And in some instances, the states were really, really not treating them even as persons, still as slaves. So in the slaughterhouse cases, it goes over that. And some of the particular language that's important is this. It talks about the citizen of the United States and secondly, the state citizen. And the exact language is, but an important element was needed to convert the latter, the state citizen, the new one, into the former, the citizen of the United States, the new citizen, and that is that he must reside in it, the state, to make him one of it. And that's where the word resident comes in. And if you've ever been asked if you're a resident and you're going over here and applying a geographical meaning, they're implying a highly technical legal meaning. And when you told them you were a resident, you told them you were a citizen of the United States, the second and subservatory citizenship that is now called the federal citizenship. And that's what's happening. They can't tell you are, because that's tyranny. But they can ask you. And if you tell them that you're a federal citizen, well, hell, Jeff, you ought to know what you are.
Ignorance well, I would suspect that one no should excuse. Know what they are.
Well, we're going to hope that we can teach a bunch of people exactly this information, and they can learn what they are. Because once you learn what you are, it's correctable. Because the system that they've brought into place here in play in our country, starting in the 30s, is the feudal system from Europe. And in the feudal system, there was two types of serfs. Voluntary serfs, when you volunteered into it, and you could volunteer out of it, and involuntary serfs that were born into it and could only get out in a couple of exceptions. So that's basically what's going on. And if you want to get all the legal background on the legal terms and how they're being used against you, go back into the archives and go back and study those broadcasts. With any luck, now that my editor's hopefully back from Vegas and the five-card hold'em tables with a pocket full of money, he can go back to editing the book. We're working on a website. We'll have this available to you. The book's going to be priced very nominally, under $10, because I want this thing out there, okay? And I'm not trying to rape or gouge anybody. And this is two or three men's total life's work that's involved in this book. I didn't conjure this stuff up. I was taught it. And as a comment to Joyce, who's on the on the 2 hours previous to me with John on Wednesdays, several months ago, 6 or 8 months ago, I heard her read a piece of legislation that was introduced in California and Alaska by a Senator Don Rogers from California, who was a very good California senator. And I would tell Joyce and all of you, because she was marveling at the legislation, that Don Rogers and I had the same teacher. Okay. So let me read a little piece here out of Pollock and Maitland. These are this is old English law, very established. For those of you who think this stuff has no basis, there's 1,000 years of feudal law. It's very well established. You just don't ever get exposed to it, and you can't hardly find it in this country. I don't know why. That's just why. But this is about serfs, and it says, in his treatment of the subject, Bracton frequently insists on the relativity of serfdom. Serfdom with him is hardly a status. It is but a relationship between two persons, the serf and the lord. As regards his lord, the serf has, at least as a rule, no rights. But as regards other persons, he has all or nearly all of the rights of a free man. It is nothing to them that he is a serf. Ring a bell with anybody?
Well, it certainly should.
And to the guy that called John that also wrote me a couple of emails who never addressed my replies, by the way, who I believe is a Southern Perverted Law Center mole, I would say, listen, this affidavit keeps you out of jail, pal. It also gets you out of the system. And if it's used correctly, you shouldn't even have to go to court. And we're going to talk about that in future broadcasts because there's some real non-confrontational, non-violent, with teeth remedies that are available here. And enough people get educated and enough people start doing this stuff, you're going to give these people fits. Do you know why you got people calling John Stattmiller and talking about me going to jail?
I filed mine. The nail on the head, baby.
You got it, buddy, because I filed mine on December 31st of 1992, and it's been sent to the IRS, to the State Department, to the Florida Department of Vehicles, and to Social Security, and I ain't been in jail, and nobody else that's ever filed one of those has been in jail, and even more importantly, not one of them has ever been rebutted or addressed. And an affidavit unrebutted, legally executed, and properly formed stands as truth. It's the highest truth in law. It's the sharpest arrow in a lawyer's quiver, Russ.
Now, let me intercede here for a moment. You have been coming on this program since, if I recall, probably sometime in early April. We had some false starts because of technical problems you had down in Argentina. And yet, since we began this, the majority of the emails that I have received, all of which I've forwarded on to you, you have opened up some phenomenal dialogue with some of our listeners over their various issues and their specific questions. You've had two very interesting specifics as relates to people who have done exactly what you said. They've not gone online to the website and done an exact word-for-word affidavit. They have taken the basis of the information, created their own affidavit, and they've gone ahead and acted accordingly. Two quick stories, one of which I want to briefly have you crash on, and then we're going to get to a caller who is going to share with us, I believe, his specific experience with this issue. One of the examples you shared with me was somebody who recently got a new civil service job. He went in with the proper affidavits, declared himself to be ahead and share with me. I'm misunderstanding.
Not correct, because that's the problem. He hasn't filed the affidavit.
Ah.
He's up on the information, because I've been working with him for about 6 to 8 months.
Okay.
And we met through a mutual friend there in the Florida Panhandle. He's a retired Air Force officer, and because of some circumstances, he's had to go back to work. And so he got him a good job there in the Panhandle associated with one of the military bases, and there's a number of them there, so you can't isolate it. And he's an ex-pilot, and he was testing software on planes. And so the first day that he went in, they give him an I-9. This is the new federal document that's required for anybody that goes in to get a job. And up on the right are about four or five, I don't remember exactly how many, but four or five different statuses. One of them's a citizen of the United States, and one of them listed right there is a U.S. national. Okay, so he contacted me, said, what should I do? I haven't filed an affidavit. I said, well, I'm not going to tell you what to do, because I'm not going to tell any of you what to do. That you should do whatever your conscience dictates to you. And so he checked U.S. National. He went to his first day at work, and he went in, and he got a good relation with his boss and turned in his paperwork and did his day's work. He goes into work the second day, and the boss grabs him by the scuff of the neck and takes him into the comptroller. And the comptroller says, you gotta be a citizen of the United States, or I'm going to fire you. Okay? And so he had to go back in and redo that, and he asked me what he should do. And I said, well, I think maybe that you should consider going in and redoing it and signing it under duress, and you may just have a discrimination lawsuit, and you won't have to go to work.
Well, that's a great story, but I like the story better that's about to be told to us. We have a caller on the line who has been following the programs, who has been under the wing, so to speak, of Roger. He's taken some advice. He's gotten off his rear end, created his own affidavit. We are going to bring him on the air, and he uses the name Zorro. And, Zorro, welcome to the program, and thanks for joining us today.
Hey, Jeff. Roger, thanks for having me on.
Hey, Z.
Roger, I'm going to turn this over to you two guys, because both of you have got the interchange experience with this. And the reason this became so important to bring to the audience is to say, look, folks, It works. All you got to do is use your own brain. Stop laying down for the lies you've been told. Well, so without Zorro further ado.
When Zorro and I first met, he was using the name Don Quixote. And I said, well, we've sharpened your joust, man, and you pierced a windmill, so you're not jousting at him anymore. So I guess we'll call you Zorro. Roll on, Zorro.
Okay, Roger. Well, what would you like? How would you like me to start off with this?
Well, without giving too much of your background and bothering people down with that you woke up, what, 3-4 years ago, and you went in and looked at a bunch of information. You had some misinformation, disinformation when we first started talking, but you listened to those three broadcasts on Jeff. You had a couple of questions specific about Treasury Decision 2314 and the non-resident alien thing in 26 CFR of the Code of Federal Regulations. You and I hammered that out. And you just kept asking me about what to do because you're an aggressive guy and you're one of these warrior types that I talk about. And so I'll let you pick up the story. You tell the people. It's your story.
Well, I went to I only made it through 1 year of law school, and then for various reasons, didn't pan out. And I'm actually kind of glad about that, to tell you the truth. But I took a case all the way to the Supreme Court of the United States, and you know, it's interesting. I'd like everybody to just think about that for a second, because why is there no America on the end of that? And I've become convinced that after wasting 9 years with a lawsuit, taking it all the way to the top and being ignored, that they simply represent the interest of the United States corporation. With that being said, after doing some research on the bailout package, they went to Congress a couple of years ago and being drawn down the rabbit hole of truth and all this insanity with the way the words are misused. I think, for example, I went to the Oxford Dictionary. The word person has over 2 pages in the Oxford Dictionary just for the word person. So there's a lot of different definitions that they play with, and that's part and parcel of the trick that they play on everybody. In any case, I took your affidavit, and I trimmed it down to 1 page and handed that in with my application for a passport and a passport card. Within a month's time, I got it back. No rebuttal, no argument whatsoever. And I intend to take the passport card and use that as my right to travel on the King's Road, so to speak. Since they've suspended my driver's license, I'm going to use that for identification now. I've trimmed my life of any contracts with the government. I don't depend on them for anything. Repudiated the voter registration, which I think is also critical to tying you into this insane system. That plus your affidavit, I think, are the two main starting points, simply put, for anybody to follow.
Well, you have to go in and file the affidavit. By the way, kudos to you, Bruce, and good work, man, because not only did Bruce do this all on his own, but he also saved about 4 pages worth of filing fees because he cut my 5-page affidavit down to 1. And, you know, an unrebutted affidavit stands at truth, and the State Department is in charge of all matters concerning citizenship. So the fact that you got one of those back last week, a passport, after no rebuttal on the affidavit, shows that it stands as truth. And for Russ, if Russ will go and pick him up a passport application, there's a big warning block right up at the top, and it says any false statements, et cetera, will geld you and take away your firstborn male child, throw you in jail. We're going to fine you, too. So the fact that Bruce is walking around and talking tonight, Russ, you little Southern perverted law center mole, kind of rebuts your little assertion, doesn't it, buddy? So, Zorro, thanks. Yes,
thank you. I appreciate your help, everybody.
Okay, man. We'll give some postscript if anything comes up. But I just thought it was important, since here's something that came directly out of those broadcasts. Bruce contacted me immediately. We had discussions. He took the initiative. And the thing I want to impress upon the audience is this isn't just about filing paperwork. This is about learning this information and making it yours. Because if you're going to be free and you want to be free, you got to act free. And to act free, you got to have information and facts, because it's going to change your life. It's not.
Let me share an email with you that just came in. It was marked your show tonight. Jeff, I did the research here on this and found out some good things. I researched the Supreme Court on this. They told me to go ahead. I then went to the State Department. They gave me some instructions to get it done. He says, I can do it and will over the next week as I can do this. Wow.
Well, this is an educational thing, folks, and it's got to spread. And I can do my part. I plan on doing my part. I've been doing my part for almost 20 years. Somebody's got to pick up the ball and dribble. There ain't no I in team, baby. Okay?
That's it.
An information warfare. It's just like that guy says. This is information warfare. And what you got to do is you've got to learn this stuff, and you got to untie the knots in your mind, because that's where the problem is. What's been done to us is simple. It's how it's been done and what's been done to your mind that's complicated and really keeps people from having lights go on quickly. Okay?
That's it.
Okay? So
amazing stuff.
Enough of that. So we move on?
We're going to move on, but we're going to go we got a couple of minutes here before we go to a break. And, you know, this to me is encouraging, Raj. I mean, you know how long we've known each other, how many years I've been on the air. I will be concluding next Friday, I think, whenever the 24th is, will be the beginning of my 17th year on the airwaves. As you know, originally with WWCR, shortwave satellite.
Listened to you.
Exactly. And you know, these are the things I live for, not just to get on the air and babble about economics or whatever. You know, frankly, that's the least of my concerns. It's being able to talk about an issue, to bring an issue to the forefront, as I did after 9/11 with the Arm the Pilots petition that I was involved with, and to have something come to fruition. The fact that Zorro obviously was involved with this long before you and I began to do the program, and now getting the email from Dave, whose email I just shared with you and the audience, and other people that have been so supportive of this, it tells me that what you've been saying all along, yeah, we're striking, we're putting the silver bullet in the werewolf's heart. They don't like it, and I wonder how long it's going to be before they find a way to circumvent all of this. But the point is that people are jumping on it, and they're acting. They're becoming proactive with this very issue. That's the payoff to me.
Let me tell you the end synopsis of this the way I see it, okay? The end synopsis is if we get enough people educated – and we can get them out there doing this, we're going to either force them to follow the law the way they've written it and use it, or else they're going to take the mask off and let's party.
That's it. We got to go to a break. We'll be right back with Roger Sales and much more to go tonight.
A bitter bad with a happy tune is your step. Life can be so divine. Right up the sun.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Are you still paying your credit cards and so-called bank loans thinking that you owe the money? Do you feel like it's your moral obligation but can't see an end in sight? Well, what if I told you that in truth, you don't owe a single penny and that the banks know this and hope you don't find out? Here's where we come in. Free2Prosper.com specializes in a profound debt repudiation method which challenges the validity of your so-called debts, morally frees you from the burdens, and protects your property. Our system is often superior to settlement, bankruptcy, or consolidation, which often leave you in a worse situation. If you feel the moral obligation to take care of yourself and your family, then I urge you to consider taking action right now. The economy will not wait. If you want to know more so you can prosper through the economic collapse, all while staying honorable and true to yourself, then call 877-417-8393. That's 877-417-8393. Or visit free2prosper.com right now.
Do you need help getting your child to behave? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman, and I'm willing to give away thousands of my best-selling total transformation programs for free. All you do is tell us how the program works for you and your family. Did it turn around your child's behavior? Did the screaming and arguing stop in your home? Is he doing better in school? The Total Transformation has helped hundreds of thousands of families. I want to see what it can do for you, and I'm willing to let you have it for free. Just order my program. Use it with your child, then send me your feedback. I'll refund the purchase price of the program. You keep the Total Transformation program forever for free. You don't have to struggle with your child's bad behavior one more day, because now you can try my Total Transformation, and the program will be free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-332-2000. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Are skyrocketing prescription costs draining your budget? If you don't have insurance or are taking medication not covered by insurance, the Powerhouse Savings Card can lower your prescription costs by up to 50%. Now you and your family can save 20 to 50% on all prescriptions. It's accepted by most pharmacies and mail-order pharmacies nationwide. No prescription card is easier to use. Just show your card and save 20 to 50% right on the spot. There are no monthly fees, just a one-time processing fee of only $4.95 for you and your immediate family. Stop paying full price for prescriptions. Stop going without the medication you need because it costs too much. Now your family can get the prescriptions they need at a cost you can afford. Call 1-800-963-0232 now and start saving money with the Powerhouse Savings Card. Call 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232.
Welcome back, my friends, to Life, Liberty, and All That Jazz. Interesting listening to Renee Olmsted singing about pennies from heaven. Wouldn't you like to have been the guy that discovered her? Interesting program tonight. Before I turn this mic back over to you, Roger, sometime last week or early this week, sent me the most amazing, I'm going to call it an essay, but it's actually, if I'm not mistaken, an exceedingly large excerpt out of a book entitled Lincoln, Money, Greenback, JFK, and Kennedy. Edmund D. Taylor and Company apparently published this, if I'm reading this correctly. I got to tell you, it's all about conspiracy theory. It ties a lot together about the various things we just talked about, certainly Lincoln and Kennedy and the greenback and various different degrees of truth and speculation and trivia. And Roger is going to make some allusion to some of this. Now, understand that sometime late tonight, I will have a fairly in-depth cut from this article, which will be on the Republic Trading Group International.com website, and with a link to the complete dissertation as it is known today. This was completely updated in February of this year. It is an amazing story. I personally believe it ties an awful lot of loose ends together of questions that people have been asking for so long. So without further ado, Rod, you want to talk about bonds and our good friend out of the 30s, and let's just get it on.
Well, we're going to talk about a bunch of stuff. Let me just address something that was said in the last segment by Zorro there about taking cases to the Supreme Court. The only court left in the country that is for sovereigns is the U.S. Court of Claims in D.C. Now, that's not my research. That's a research from a gentleman out there who's now deceased in Nevada named Wayne Hayes. And I saw that on some videos that Robbie Noel posted on his show, and I heard someone call in and ask him about that yesterday. He was the one that married Helen Chenoweth, and they're both deceased. She was killed in a car accident, and he died of natural causes. But he fought the feds on a land situation and did tons of research, and that was the conclusions of his research. I want to read a little piece here that was not read on Jeff's show originally, and it's how they took legal control of the country. And this comes from another speech from the grave by Congressman Louis T. McFadden. This is in the Congressional Record on Friday, June the 8th of 1934. I read the other part on your show, but I didn't read this. I read it on Freedom Frenzy, and also it's in the book, by the way. I've added it back in. Mm-hmm. Frankfurter has been furnishing most of the legal brains for the outfit, and it is said that no legal position of any consequence can be secured by any lawyer in the present administration without it has first the approval of Frankfurter. And it is a startling fact in connection with this that most of the legal advisors, especially in key positions, are Jews. Felix Frankfurter's adept student and protege, Jerome N. Frank, General Counsel of the Agricultural Adjustment Administration, delivered an address before the Association of American Law Schools' 31st annual meeting at Chicago, December 30th of 1933, on experimental jurisprudence and the New Deal. So there you are right there. They already had total control of the law schools, and they got their flunkies up in Association of Law School meetings in 33 talking about this whole new system of tyranny, voluntary tyranny that they brought in during the last Depression. So enough said for that. You can go back and study that on your own. We've talked about bonds as collateral because the bonds underpin this whole system. They were talking about China on John's show and the debt to China. Well, those bonds are the underpinning of the entire financial system. The bond market is 100 times bigger than the stock market. And every bond and every loan has collateral. And the importance of what we've talked about in this first half hour is through this system, you volunteered in and are legally property, legally under 1,000 years of established feudal law. And it's you as property that they've pledged as collateral for that bond market. That's what your taxes are. Okay? So if you don't think this is important, you're wrong. Okay? This is the underpinnings of the entire system. And that's why you got people like our boy Russ screaming up there. Because these people, this information I presented to you and that we're going to put out there, it goes to the taproot of their control. Because their control is one legal word. It's called jurisdiction. And it's that gives them the jurisdiction over you. Okay? So let's go even further back. Let's go back a couple of thousand years to Jesus. Jesus lived for 33 years. In the recorded history of his life, he only lost his temper one time, and that was when he drove the money changers out of the temple. And it's no coincidence that he was crucified 3 days later either. All right? So what were the money changers in the temple, Jeff? Do you know that story?
Well, yeah, unfortunately I do. They were those that we would call the bankers today, so to speak, oy vey. But there was a similar story, if this is where we're going, and Abraham Lincoln did very much the same thing. Are we ready for that part of the story?
Yeah, but let me just give a little background here.
Yeah, go ahead.
The important. What happened, and the reason all that happened, is because in Jerusalem at that time, the Romans controlled Palestine, that part of the world. And the coin of the realm was the Roman coin. All right, I think it was called the dinar, but I could be wrong. But anyway, in the temple, when the people that went in to buy their sacrificial animals and whatever they went to buy, they wouldn't allow them to use the Roman coin inside the temple to buy whatever they needed to buy. And they had the money changers out front, and they would exchange the Roman coin for temple script. Does the word exchange rate have been meaning to any of you?
Well, of course it does.
Same bunch doing the same thing 2,000 years later, just much more sophisticated. Okay?
Well, it just shows that everything that's old is new again, or same old, or whatever you want to call it. Because that's exactly what it is. They learned the lessons back then, and they continue to abuse the world with their fiat exchange system.
Nothing new under the sun, my friend.
No,
I'm going to read you a Henry Ford Sr. quote, and it says, "The youth who can solve the money question will do more for the world than all the professional soldiers of history." Now then, since we're going to talk about this time and we're going to seg into Lincoln with this, let me read you something from the English statesman Bismarck. The London Times printed the following paragraph during our Civil War. "If that mischievous financial policy, which had its origin in the North American Republic, should become indurated down to a fixture, then that government will furnish its own money without cost. It will pay off debts and be without a debt. It will have all the money necessary to carry on its commerce. It will become prosperous beyond precedent in the history of the civilized government of the world. The brains and the wealth of all countries will go to North America. That government must be destroyed, or it will destroy every monarchy on the globe. They will not hesitate to plunge the whole of Christendom into wars and chaos in order that the earth should become their inheritance.
That is exactly what has taken place.
Yeah, except it's gotten a little bit reversed, hasn't it?
Oh, yeah, very much so.
And here's a great quote from Lincoln. The money power preys upon the nation in times of peace and conspires against it in times of adversity. It is more despotic than monarchy, more insolent than autocracy, more selfish than bureaucracy. It denounces as public enemies all who question its methods or throw light upon its crimes. So,
just phenomenal stuff.
Yeah, those are all in the book, okay? There's a bunch of quotes. I'm a big quote guy because I think those are voices of wisdom speaking from history, and you need to heed them.
Well, you know, I agree with that. This is slightly astray from where we are, but I shared this this quote on John's program last night with Bob Chapman and Robbie. Some of the most brilliant people out there were back in the year 55 BC. I continue to always go back to Cicero. What an amazingly brilliant man who stated once, the budget should be balanced, the treasury should be refilled, public debt should be reduced, the arrogance of officialdom should be tempered and controlled, and the assistance to foreign lands should be curtailed, lest Rome, we can just, you know, replace it with the word America, become bankrupt. People must again learn to work instead of living on public assistance. And you and I have shared various different Cicero quotes before. Why is it that the voices of old come out to tell us exactly what's wrong and we do nothing to correct it?
Well, a lot of it's hidden from us, a lot of a distraction that they've caused. Absolutely. For us, a lot of miseducation, diseducation, et cetera. You know, the Cicero quote I read, I consider him to be one of the greatest statesmen in the history of the world. If you just look at the words of wisdom and how long ago they were uttered and how true they are today. I mean, that is vision and wisdom right there.
Yeah.
So. I want to go back to the Ford quote on the person that can solve the monetary problem. The monetary problem's been solved. It's just they hide it all the time, okay? And the first time is tally sticks. And your audience, if they're not familiar with that, can go back and look it up. You can do a Google search on it. There's some nice pearls of wisdom on tally sticks. If you've ever seen The Wizard of Oz, that wonderfully produced documentary, in there he actually went to England and went to one of the museums, and he shows you tally sticks, and the guy explains how they work. And the secret of tally sticks is they use sticks as money, okay? Except the secret of it is exactly the secret of the greenbacks. It's why Bismarck made that statement. Because the government spends money, they print money. It doesn't bear interest. It's spent into circulation, and what is spent into circulation is then taxed out of circulation. Because money's primary thing is a medium of exchange and a store of value. And that's what it's used as, a medium of exchange. And I think that all of this stuff about the legal and the political, and as you can see from what I've shown you, already they've turned you into property. You're the collateral for the bonds that underpin the entire financial system, and the financial system is the horse they rode into town on, and it's the horse, all you have to do is read the news, that they're trying to ride out of town on right now.
Well, I hate to say it, I wish they would ride out of town.
Well, with any help, maybe we can get them to ride out of town.
Well, and that's the whole goal here. I mean, I think it's a combination of goals. Is we enough people stand up and take back their lives and take back their true freedoms and liberties and their true status. Much comes along with that. Yeah, you know what? Like anything else, Roger, it is a tremendous amount of work to achieve freedom, but it's an even greater amount of work to maintain that freedom, and most people just aren't willing to put that work and effort in.
Well, you know, one of the founders had a great quote. I don't have it right at my fingertips right now, but he talked about the animated contest of freedom, and mm-hmm. That's what it is, okay? Because now you're personally responsible. You don't go run and suck on the government's teat all the time. You're out there. You don't necessarily have to have insurance. You ought to be taking care of your own health and storing up your own money in case something tragic happens to you and you can take care of it. Before mm-hmm. the Great Depression, there was an entire safety net, and it wasn't a government safety net. It was done through friends. It was done through family, and it was done through the churches, okay? They took all that away, and they turned everything into government, because when you go to them, they give you a little piece of meat, and there's always a hook in it, baby.
Oh,
always.
Yeah.
Always. Okay?
Keep reeling in.
Okay? So the important part of the last part of this was to go back, and you're going to post that that Lincoln article. And let me say, because this is important, I didn't find that article. It was by another one of my students that I turned on to this when we were living in Florida about 5 years ago. And he's got a very good mind for math and numbers. And it grabbed him, and it wouldn't let go. And he's done tons of research. And he's left the country. He lives in Brazil now. He married a gal from Brazil and moved back to Brazil. He's half Brazilian. And it was Lou that sent me that that article. It took me several days to read it. You're not going to blow through it in an hour. It's like Jeff said, it's an essay, but there's a lot of very good information in there that, when brought to light, the Illinois Historical Society didn't like it coming to light at all, because it's about the guy named Taylor that was a friend of Lincoln's that turned him on to the idea of putting the greenbacks out to finance the war and thumb his nose at the bankers. And there's some wonderful information in that essay, and I would encourage all of you to get on there and read it when Jeff gets it posted.
Yeah, it'll be tonight. You know, as regular readers of the website know, I always attempt to get, you know, financial headlines and things up the night, but, you know, the night before. I did not get it done last night. As many of the listeners know, I was nodding off during the last 20 minutes of this program last night. I finished the program, had a conversation with a client, and frankly, I was in bed by 8:30 last night, and I didn't wake up till about 8:30 this morning. And I must have really badly needed that sleep. So things happen, but it's my goal to put the emphasis on this particular piece tonight, because I think it is so profound. News and financial headlines don't really change that much from day to day, but information of this type can disappear in a heartbeat, and I want you all to have it. It is just another one of my gifts to our readers and to our listeners. It is too important not to gain access. Everybody's talked about the Kennedy and the Lincoln and the greenbacks and the FDR and the Federal Reserve and all these various aspects of history. This puts so much of it together so clearly. I think it gives us an excellent dissertation as to how we got on the path we're on and why we've been stuck with it.
Yeah, I mean, John, I heard John talking about, as I've heard him talk a number of times, about the state banking thing, and he's real high on that. I don't have a problem with it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember if it's North or South Dakota. Is it North Dakota?
It's North Dakota.
They've been very successful with that. They're the only state in the country that's not fiscally insolvent right now.
Yeah, they did not need any of the bailout money from the Obamaites or anything else. They were able to stand on their own and sit back laughing at everybody else. And that's the way it needs to be. You know, here's a state banking association, as it were, or a particular state that's taken control of their, as much as possible, their own destiny. If they can do it, why can't you? Why can't the individual? And they can.
Well, if the Federal Reserve crumbles, and it sure looks to me like they got more problems than a Chinese trigonometry teacher right now, and if we can start getting this information out and get a groundswell of people out there, there's going to be a groundswell of people anyway, because quite frankly, there's a lot of folks out there, from what I understand, that don't have anything left to lose anymore. And it's like Gerald Celente says, you know, about those that don't have anything to lose, lose it. Okay, and that's happening all over the world, and you don't have to do much but tune into a couple of TV that show the truth, or tune into a couple of websites that to see what's going on in Spain and in Greece, and fixing to go on in countries all over the world. So it's important. And as this thing crumbles, see, they want to bring in their currency. That's what we've talked about in one or two of the previous weeks. All of this this greenhouse stuff is about, is because they're trying to set up the taxing mechanism, because they've got to set up the taxing mechanism before they can put the fiat currency mechanism into place. Well, let's get another mechanism in place as they crumble. Let's get some semblance of the tally sticks or the greenback, where we take our country back and we put out our own money that doesn't bear interest, and we rebuild the country. You want to talk about having to rebuild the country and being able to, that's how you're going to do it. You're not going to do it with any kind of bond where you're a collateral, or any kind of used money supply. That's the same basic thing that made Jesus kick the money changers out of the temple and get crucified 3 days later.
Yeah, right.
And that's why it's important to understand this. And you can take and do your own homework. You go research tally sticks. You read this article about greenbacks and go understand this and try and filter down where you understand some of this monetary system thing, because it's important.
Don't you find it interesting? And there's only three that we will mention very briefly, but you've mentioned one, Christ, Jesus. There's Abraham Lincoln, there's Kennedy. It's so interesting to me that, and I'm sure there's been many others who have been, let's call it, assassinated for having attempted to take on the international banking community. How many others
freak
can you
out. They freak out. I think William McKinley was one.
Yeah.
They freak out when you start messing with their money, okay, because that's the root of their power. But let's take it a step back. What's the root of their power of the money? The bonds, because even back then in that essay, they talk about the bonds, okay? It's the bonds, and they can't put out bonds without collateral. What's the collateral? You.
Us. We the people of whatever nation we happen to be living in so many instances.
So, you know, I mean, when you simplify it, it's not so complicated. It's all the layers of the onion that they put on there to distract you and divert you, and so that you don't understand this. And as you can see from that thing I read from McFadden earlier, it's the reason you got great people out there like Edwin Vieira, who I respect highly, okay? Three PhDs from Harvard, JD from Harvard, certified to argue in front of the Supreme Court cases and has done so, wrote numerous books on Constitution and constitutional law and constitutional money. And I heard him on a radio show read the 14th and he didn't talk about person. He didn't talk about the definitions, different definitions of the United States. He didn't talk about resident. He didn't talk about any of this stuff. And that's not a cut on Edwin Vieira. They're not taught this in the law schools because they don't, the same way they don't teach natural medicine in the medical schools, the same reason your dentist scoffs at you when you talk about mercury fillings. These people are being programmed. That's why I tell you all this stuff's in your mind.
Absolutely. I agree with that. I, as you well know, I've been involved with many, many years with Dr. Kelly and his cancer program. He, of course, is deceased now, but this was his big fight, was to teach truth, let people know that there are options outside of the mainstream, in his particular case, medical community. You and I are talking about options outside the other mainstream community. And this is what people, they just, you know, they're going to turn off the radio tonight. They're going to turn on their television. They're going to get entertained. Gee, who's going to be bigger next year, American Idol or The X Factor? Who cares? This is your X Factor. This is your 50-yard line. And how the game plays out and who wins the game is going to be up to you, the listener. Don't leave it up to them, because I guarantee you, you'll lose.
You'll lose if you know this stuff, but I'm telling you, when you hear people's examples like mine, and like Zorro, and like I hope more people will follow suit and learn this information and make it theirs and start living the life that comes with wanting to be free. And whether you got that burning in your breast or not, I can't answer that quest for you. Only you can answer that question, okay? You can do it.
I'm afraid, my friend, that not only are we going to run out of time, we've only got about a couple minutes left, but and you said in your email to me, chances are we're not going to get through it all tonight. What becomes interesting with all of this is this mentality of the burning in the breast. How many people out there listening tonight and who have dropped in or out of this program for one reason or another, you know, characters like Russ, who calls up and demands to be heard on the radio so he can hear himself talk, but refuses to respond to your questions via email. I'm not going to give the guy one bit of credibility if he won't give himself legitimate credibility by responding to your serious answers to his comments. You know, people have got this, what do they think? You just sit back and you're going to go to McDonald's and get a Happy Meal instead of a toy. There's going to be hey, you're free ticket inside. It doesn't work that way. So there has to be a real burning desire. Number one, an understanding of what it is to be free, but a real desire to get free and get out from underneath the thumbnail of this insanity.
You know, it's funny because when I got into this, as many people do, it was about taxes to me. But I'd always known something was wrong. And yeah. Even though it was way over my head, I knew that I sensed that there was something real truth and something very important there. That's why I persisted in it. So right. I filed that affidavit and I kept going forward. And the first few years, I kind of considered it a game because I like to press the envelope on things. And as we went along, I started to realize that this isn't a game, okay? That it's much more serious, and that it's what all my teachers had told me early on when they said this is a spiritual battle, and I never understood that. Boy, do I understand it now, because it is a spiritual battle. This is the age-old battle of good versus evil. And if we got a second, Jeff, let me go back and read for the people that didn't listen to this, the Cicero quote that I read that night on the air, because this is powerful, man. It says, power and law are not synonymous. In truth, they're frequently in opposition and irreconcilable. There is God's law, from which equitable laws of man emerge, and by which men must live if they're not to die in oppression, chaos, and despair. Divorced from God's eternal and immutable law, established before the founding of the suns, man's power is evil. No matter the noble words with which it is employed or the motives urged when enforcing it. Men of God will, mindful therefore of the law laid down by God, will oppose governments whose rule is by men, and if they are to wish to survive as a nation, they must destroy the government which attempts to adjudicate by the whim of venal judges. Cicero.
And with that, Rog, this has been a great hour. I look forward to seeing you again next Wednesday night right here on Life, Liberty, and all that jazz. Keep tuning in, folks. There's a lot more to come. Thanks for spending your valuable time with us tonight. Till the good Lord sees fit to bring us together again. Without apology, I am Jeffrey Bennett.
Ciao, y'all.
The next round of the worst financial crisis in 100 years.